Recently, I was sent a book to review that is forthcoming by the Israeli author Amos Oz and his daughter, Fanyo Sulzberger, who's a historian, and it's called Jews and Words. It's all about the place that words play in the Jewish tradition, because he's a writer and she's a historian, and so it's a natural subject for them. And in the book, somewhere he says that more than Judaism is a bloodline, it's a text line. That is, words and study and texts, they're what really tie one generation to the next and to the generation after. And he says that, in fact, what you need for a Jewish community to continue are two things. You need children and words. And I think that that idea that you need words, that we are a portable civilization, that we live by texts, is certainly true. And anybody who studies Judaism knows that the first thing that you study is the alphabet, and then you are plunged into this world of texts. And so this morning, for Yizkor, I want to introduce you to one short text that is beautifully used by Rabbi Norman Lamb in his sermon on Shmini Atzeret that lets us see how it is that Jews get the meaning of life out of texts that at first seem completely unrelated to the subject at hand. We just read in the Amidah about the sacrifices in the temple. And it is not easy to make meaning out of you should sacrifice this and not sacrifice that. But here's the text, Kol Ha'etzim, all the woods. Kesherim L'Ma'arach are, you can burn any of them in the fire on the altar. You can use any kind of wood you like. Chutz Mishel Zayit Mishel Gafd. Except for olive wood and vines. Those you can't use. Now, you have to say, that does not at first seem like such a promising text about what wood you can use to burn on the altar to make a sacrifice. But then this text, which is from Pasikta Zutra, goes on to tell us why you can't use those two kinds of woods. Shehashemen v'hayayin krevim l'gavei hamizbeach. Because oil, that is olive oil from olive wood, and wine, that is from the vine and the grape, they're used on the altar. So in other words, you shouldn't use the wood that material used on the altar comes from to burn in the same way that it says you shouldn't see the lamb in its mother's milk. Lo tvashel gadib chalev imo. Why? Because the lamb comes from its mother, so you shouldn't use something from its mother at the same time. The idea being that you can use any wood on the altar except for wood that produces something that the altar consumes. Therefore, olive wood and vines are exempt. So you understand the principle, but then the same text goes on to explain it in a sort of general application. What does all this mean about not being able to use the wood that produces the fruit that you use on the altar? It says, Hitzilu haperot et ha'ilanot. The fruit saved the tree. In other words, the grape saved the vine. You can't burn the vine because of the grape. And the olive saved the olive wood. You understand the principle? The offspring saves the parent. The fruit of the tree saves the tree. And now you understand why this is a sermon for Yizkor. Because in our tradition, saying Yizkor, not only for a parent, because after all, we say Yizkor for siblings, for spouses, for children, but the principle remains the same, which is that the fruit that endures of that relationship saves the relationship. And it is a tribute to the wood that the fruit would exist and would provide sweetness and savor. It is a tribute to the person who died that they were important enough in our lives that we would come to synagogue and say Yizkor for them. And in that way, save them. And the save here depends on how you see it. On the altar, we understand what the save was. The save is olive wood doesn't get burned. The vine doesn't get burned. For our ancestors, and maybe for some of us, the idea of saying Yizkor was to ease the soul's passage in the world to come. And so the fruit saves the wood in that very literal sense. But another way to think of it, of course, is to save from obscurity or from being forgotten. Because as long as there is somebody who remembers you in Yizkor, you're not forgotten. And so the fruit saves the tree. And our presence here is a way of affirming that. In his beautiful book on Kaddish, Leon Wieseltier says almost exactly that. He wonders, why is it that a child has to say Kaddish for a parent? And he starts off by saying the traditional idea, which is that you ease the soul's passage in the world to come. But what if you don't have that folk belief? And then, of course, he comes to the idea that is expressed by this text, which is that the child is the evidence. A parent lived in such a way that they would leave a child behind who would say Kaddish for them. And that's true of whatever relative, whatever person close in our lives we're saying Kaddish for. They lived in such a way or touched us in such a way that we would say Kaddish for them. And therefore, we are the evidence of the importance of their lives. We're the fruit. We're what doesn't get burned on the altar. The larger lesson, in a sense, is that everywhere the rabbis looked, even in the most mundane and everyday activities, they saw the depth and the beauty of meaning in our lives, whether it was a sacrifice on the altar or the recitation of a prayer. Everywhere, they understood this sense of continuity, both bloodline and text line, that ties us to our ancestors, even those who spoke thousands of years ago. So as we enter the Yizkor service, we understand that even though we're saying Yizkor for certain individuals who touched our lives, we're also part of a much longer chain of people whose names we may not remember, but whose meanings and whose wisdom continues to illuminate our own lives.